All right, I'm going to call this meeting of the Alloway Village Board to order. It's the 5:15 meeting before the regular board meeting, particularly to discuss Riverside Drive Community Sensitive Solutions. I'll take a roll call. Trustee Harris.
Here.
Trustee Atwood.
Here.
Call him Atwood.
Only her president.
Trustee Rafter.
Here.
President Gass is here. Trustee Dart.
Here.
Trustee Green.
Here.
Trustee Dennis is excused. Is there a motion to either modify or adopt the agenda as presented? Trustee Harris.
Motion to approve as presented.
Seconded by Trustee Rafter. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Agenda adopted. Our state assemblyman, Mr. Stephan, is here. I would like to give him an opportunity to kind of maybe update us a little bit on some of the things going down in Madison.
Yeah, okay.
So we appreciate you being here.
Thank you. Give my address and have the record. David Stephan, 1320 Sunray Lane, Village of Howard. Thank you, Ms. President, for giving me an opportunity to just quickly brief you. Obviously, the state budget passed last week, and so as a part of that, DOT was affected, and the impact on our Highway 57 project that you're going to be discussing tonight may or may not be affected, and I just want to give you the information, the most recent, up-to-date. I know the gentlemen from the DOT who are here are going to be speaking more to the design elements, but I want to tell you just a little bit about the legal aspects on some things. First of all, when it comes to the project as a whole, there was a short list created of projects within the DOT budget that were to be delayed or deferred or completely wiped away, and the Highway 57 project, Riverside Drive project, is not on that list. It doesn't mean some things could change, but that's good news. It means the project will be continuing forward for those who want the project. So that's good news. As it relates to Trans 75, which is the requirement for pedestrian walkways as well as the bike lanes, that has been removed as a state mandate. Except for projects which are quote-unquote underway. And the legal counsel for the DOT is reviewing to determine what underway means. So that is still to be determined as to how that may or may not affect this particular project. The last thing I wanted to just brief you on is on community-sensitive design. With this budget, future projects in the state of Wisconsin related to community-sensitive design will not receive state funding. They will receive state involvement, but municipalities have to pay for it. So when we talk about the decorative brickwork, the beautiful planters, decorative lighting, those sort of things, those will not be occurring. However, the Village of Alloway signed its agreement with the DOT prior to that occurring. So the DOT is certainly at this point, and that's as of today, is fully planning to honor all of its commitments relating to community sensitive design in relation to the Village of Alloway's project, the Highway 57 project. So from a cost perspective, you know, that's a good thing for the Village of Alloway as it's going through these things. So those were kind of the three things. I want to just give you a very quick update on some of it. Again, they are still working on to understand what it means. And how it's going to impact. The good news, again, is that the project itself is still on track. DOT is still moving forward on everything. Again, the community sense of design looks like that will be available to the community. So I'll be, as always, available to each one of you individually, members of the public, and your staff as it relates to this project and whatever determination you come to. I'm here to support you, so please let me know if I can ever help with this particular project or other matters.
Great. Thank you, Assemblyman.
Thank you.
Okay, what I propose to do is let's have an open dialogue maybe with Craig. We can maybe walk through these items on a step-by-step basis, and then... This is like eight different issues I think we have to take a serious look at. And some of them can be deferred, you know, based upon timing. Some of them will need an answer fairly quickly, if not yesterday. Item number one, sidewalk locations along Riverside Drive. Apparently decisions needed as of this meeting. Craig, why don't you lead us in a little bit of discussion on that, and we'll open up for board comment and a potential motion for that.
The sidewalk that is proposed in the project is shown on pages 2 and 3 in your handout, and page 3 should be in there this time. Last time it didn't copy. You can see that kind of in an overview, there's a sidewalk on the east side of Riverside Drive, the full length of the route. And that is to give us a sidewalk route that traverses the full length of Riverside Drive. That was the best location for an entire route. It minimizes the impact overall, being on the east side. And then there is a portion of sidewalk on the west side in what we call the commercial area or the business area between Alloway Avenue and St. Joseph Street. And it extends a little bit to the north from St. Joseph Street to connect to or to go close to St. Francis Park. And then in addition to those locations of sidewalk, there is replacement of the sidewalk on the south end of the village where we had previously installed sidewalk in the residential area. At the last meeting, you brought up, at board level, you brought up the idea of extending the sidewalk from Stambaugh Road further north and connecting to the Scog property. That, you know, that could be done. I think the reason why in the workshops that wasn't included was because it wasn't felt that there would be a lot of traffic on that and a destination point for people to the south. So that might be, that's the reason why it wasn't included in the project. But if you think about it, there is one reason to consider including it, and that is that if that sidewalk were to extend to the Feld property, which is the next couple of lots north of the Scog property, but if it went to the Feld property, that would be a tie-in point for us at some point in time through our stormwater treatment area there to connect to the Fox River Trail. So, you know, that would be an advantage if that sidewalk extended that far. It would be a little bit of a challenge to extend the sidewalk north along that route because I think it's going to require a retaining wall in a portion of that area because of the relatively steep slope from the Riverside Drive area going down to the west. And also there's a little bit higher area there when you're near the Feld property where it might require a retaining wall behind the sidewalk in order to get through that property. But anyway, that was brought up at the last meeting, and that's just a couple of thoughts in looking at it. I think that what we have here for sidewalk is it's very close to where we started initially a couple of years ago when we looked at this project and we said, what do we really want to accomplish when we started this project? What did we want to have for sidewalk? And those of you that were on the board at that time, you know, one of the things that we said was that we really did want to have at least one sidewalk route the length of the roadway. So we had that connectivity. It would provide that route for people to be able to go north-south through that whole area. And we also did want to be able to provide access to the businesses in that central area so that you'd be able to get to those businesses and go up and down north-south along those businesses for access. So we have that. And we did preserve the residential area. So this is a little more than where we started, but what we established initially was sort of a minimum anyway. That's my thoughts on it. I think this is a good approach. I think it accomplishes a lot for us. And it does allow us in the future, and it is one of the items on our list. We don't necessarily have to decide tonight, but this list is sort of the things that we thought were things that should be discussed at board level and have involvement in and make decisions by into the approach. One of the things that we would like to do in the future is provide more tie into the Fox River Trail. And so the sidewalk does give us some options to do that in the future, be able to tie, you know, the residential areas through the sidewalks down to the Fox River Trail in 2 points or 3 points in the future. Those would be village projects, but they're things that we could do long term that would benefit access.
Thank you, Craig. I mean, in terms of the sidewalks, I think we're looking at two different concepts. I mean, one would, I guess, be the original base proposal, which is east full length of Riverside and west in that commercial area. I'm just going to call that the base or original concept. And then the second alternative or option would be sidewalks from Stambo to Skog and or Feld, the Feld properties. In terms of option number two, I mean, that's something we can do at a later point in time should we choose. I mean, that doesn't necessarily have to be done in conjunction with the 57, you know, remodel. Right.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, that could be done at a much later date, sure.
And if we did it at a later date, would we lose out on anything with respect to DOT funding?
It wouldn't be funded as part of the DOT project. Okay. However, that area will probably experience more development in the future, so a portion of that cost or a portion of that sidewalk could be part of future development by the developers that take on a project in that area. So a portion of that could be handled as part of future development.
Okay. Randy? Trustee Raffer.
Craig, I thought if we decided to have a sidewalk from Stambo up to the north, wherever that is, that would be included in the project and wouldn't cost us anything additional.
That's true if it is included now. Yeah.
And if we did it later on, we'd have to pay for it ourselves.
Yeah.
I thought that's what you were asking.
That's exactly what I was asking.
I like his answer better.
I do too.
We're going with your answer.
Any comments from the board? Any questions that the board has of staff or discussion on the sidewalk concept? Trustee Raffer.
I like the idea of extending the sidewalk north because it does give us a future opportunity to tie in. It doesn't look like it would impact any property significantly because there's really nothing there except some commercial property, and not that commercial property is not important, but there's plenty of room there where you're not going to impact their business by adding a sidewalk, and you actually increase traffic or the ability to get to their places of business, and which might attract people from the neighborhood to work there. Who knows? My question is, you propose going north to the Feld property, I think you said, which is where the basin is right now. Is that it?
Yes.
Does it make sense, this is an open question, does it make sense to go up to the new trail that we just created from Riverside down to the trail, north of 172? Does it make sense to extend that sidewalk that far north? Because we don't have access right now at the Feld property. That would also be part of the DOT project, right?
So you're proposing taking it further north all the way to the overpass of 172?
Yeah, I don't know if I'm proposing
we're
it,
not
but
proposing.
Just throwing it up for discussion. Does it make sense? I think it might make sense to do that.
I think it makes good sense, as long as you're doing it.
It could be extended there as far as constructing a sidewalk. That's in a relatively easy area to add a sidewalk. It's mm-hmm. flat. There's plenty of room. I don't know how it interfaces with the proposed curb line. I don't have those drawings to really look at, you know, the actual dimensions of it, but offhand it would look like a good relic, yeah.
And once again, it doesn't impact, I won't say it doesn't impact, but doesn't have doesn't seem to have an impact on property owners on the north side or on the west side of the street.
I think the only thing that would change is the overflow parking for Heritage Hill. Because don't you get extra cars parking on the south side of the 172 overpass? That'd be about the only thing that would affect. That's the only time I ever see that area being used.
Yeah, but you'd probably mitigate against that with some kind of a drive, you know, that would allow you to go over the sidewalk to access that temporary parking area down there. So if we add it into the project now, it will be, you know, the DOT, is it DOT expense or DOT share?
It's a DOT expense, 100%.
Okay. Well, that gives us some inclination to take advantage of that opportunity now as opposed to later.
I can add a little bit to it. We originally proposed sidewalk both sides. That's what we consider desirable when it comes to pedestrian access. We eliminated in that area because of trying to reduce the impacts. We got, you know, so much feedback. We got to reduce the impacts. And because of the sparsity of use on that side of the roadway, we thought it was one of the reasonable areas to remove it. That doesn't mean that, you know, we don't have any problem. We don't, what I'm trying to say is we don't have a problem putting it back in because that is desirable for us. One of the reasons it was removed too is because of the large parcels and not occupied parcels, maintenance is another concern there. Is maintaining that sidewalk in the winter months and, you know, clearing up any terrace area, mowing it, anything like that. So just to give you a little bit more backbone behind it. So.
Dan?
Yeah.
How much, what is the impact to the property on the west side if we put sidewalks in there?
That's something we'd have to work with you on. It comes down to the whole terrace area and all that too. Right now we're proposing in that area, we look at our typical 5-foot terrace and then a 5-foot sidewalk. So that'd be an additional 10 feet of impact to those properties. Now, where we have steep hills or grade differential, and it gets into a lot more impacts because of having to fill in a low area or cut through a higher area, we'd have to look at that individually, whether or not retaining walls would be cost-effective versus buying more property. Retaining walls are also a maintenance headache, and also relating to boilers, those where possible. We could entertain wider terrace in some areas. We could entertain commercial walks. You know, and that's something we might propose in an area. Let's say we have a short area where we have an expensive retaining wall. In order to avoid that, we'd like to bring it into commercial walk for a short area. Mm-hmm. Well, these are details. Basically, we're looking for the concept, you know, of sidewalks the way it is, and we can continue to work on these things. You know, as time goes, it gets more and more difficult to add or delete, because we'd like to get a plat instead of purchasing property within a year here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so if, you know, we extend a little bit here or there, we can continue to work on that as we go. But the earlier we get that information, the better. The biggest thing we're looking for is the concept that we're good with having a sidewalk on the east side, a couple sections on the west side, the exact limits we can tell you what.
Any other discussion or questions, you know, concerning point number one on the memo, the sidewalk issue? Hearing none, I'll entertain a motion concerning the sidewalk recommendation. I'm looking to Trustee Raptor, since you have the expertise on this issue.
I will make a motion to include the sidewalks as designed, or as proposed currently, and to consider extending it north to the where the trail goes down to the Fox River Trail, the new trail, just north of 172.
All right. And is there a second to that motion? Trustee Harris. Any further discussion by the board concerning the pending motion? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Unanimously approved. Item number two, which is probably going to be one of the bigger issues, at least on the emails that I've received and the people I've chatted with. Item number two, including bike lanes 4 feet wide in the project. State budget funding may impact this decision. The one comment or at least based on the emails and people I've talked to, you know, there seems to be some strong consensus, at least from the residents in the area, that they would prefer not to see a bike lane. But the one comment in the memo that, you know, I want an explanation of, it says, if bike lanes are deleted, the roadway is probably going to stay the same size. I mean, one would think if you get rid of the 4 feet or so of bike lanes, that the road would be smaller, but that doesn't seem to be the case, and I guess my question is, why is that not the case?
I'll offer a comment on it, and then I'm going to ask the fellows to also comment on it from the DOT standpoint, but this is how I look at it. We have a roadway width that's established to try to minimize impact on properties as much as we can, and I believe that that's what's been accomplished. It's really fit the corridor quite well, and it's minimized the impact on properties. But if you look long term at what do we want to accomplish on Riverside Drive, I think we need to have the ability or the option to have the bike lanes. What's proposed is a minimum 4 foot wide bike lane on each side. And in doing that, we're minimizing the width of the travel lanes. That approach gives us a bike route each way for the experienced bikers to use. But that approach also tends to reduce speeds on the highway because of the 11-foot travel lanes. And then we have the option of whether that's a striped bike lane or not. But if we stripe that, that further adds to controlling speeds and protecting the bikers. But we need that option to have bike routes on that roadway because that gives us the north-south connectivity through the village. It fits into the overall growth of pedestrian facilities and biking facilities within the village. If we would make the road narrower, we're really not benefiting the properties very much because the impacts are pretty much minimized now, but we lose the future opportunity to have that type of a facility. So my feeling is we're better off with the bike routes, 4 foot lanes. 4 foot lanes are used in a lot of places, even though they seem small, but if you go around and look at a lot of the streets in this area, a lot of them have 4 foot bike lanes and they have a fair bit of traffic. But this preserves that option for the long term. This road is going to be here 40 years plus. I'd hate to see us cut ourselves short and not be able to provide biking if we decided not to do it now. So from my standpoint, I see the plus in handling.
Well, I mean, I think my question, I mean, at least, you know, from the emails and the people I've talked to, there seems to be a sense or at least an impression that if we delete the bike lanes, the road's going to shrink, presumably by 8 feet. I mean, if you get rid of 4 feet, of, you know, bike lanes on each side. I guess what I'm trying to figure out is that true or is the road going to be the same width regardless of whether we have bike lanes or not?
No, I can answer that. Yeah, I don't want to mislead anybody by saying that it would not get skinnier. Our minimum standard without the bike lanes would reduce the width 2 feet on each side of the roadway. Okay? Because we'd have to have the 11-foot lanes with a 2-foot gutter pan. So right now that gutter pan is part of the bike lane. If the bike lane's gone, we still need that 2-foot gutter pan on that outside lane. Okay? So basically what we have on the outside lane now is like a 4-foot gutter pan. The seam is moved in. At, you know, you have a seam at 11 feet, a seam at 11 feet, and then the gutter pan has no seam in it. It's all 4 feet to the curb head. That's how we accommodate the bikes with only 4 feet there. If we get rid of the bike lane, we just eliminate 2 feet of that, and then that outside lane is 11 foot with a 2-foot gutter pan. Okay? So it only eliminates two, and how it kind of comes around a little bit where possibly it could not eliminate anything is our desirable for that four-lane roadway without bike accommodations is 2 12-foot lanes with a 2-foot gutter pan. That is what is desirable. And so if you were to use that, that's the exact same width as what we're proposing now. So you'd have 24 feet and two, you'd have 26 feet on both sides, which is the same thing we're proposing now. The only thing is we're moving our pavement marking and our joints. to give you two 11-foot lanes and that 4-foot cutter pin. Otherwise, it would be two 12-foot lanes and a 2-foot cutter pin. That would be desirable. We could go less than desirable, but that's what we would propose without the bike lanes and the cutter pin.
So if we went less than desirable, eliminated the bike lanes, the most we'd save would be about 2 feet on each side.
2 feet on each side, correct.
Okay.
Could that 2 feet be used as, and I know parts of the sidewalk, let's just propose that's what we did. I know parts of the sidewalk are closer to the road than others. Is there any way that we could then use a foot of that to get more area between the sidewalk and the road?
Or a wider terrace, yes. You can keep that thing with the back of the sidewalk and not reduce any property impacts and just make the terrace wider. That is something that you can do with that. Bike accommodations were eliminated.
Oh, so what you're contemplating is if we eliminated the bike lanes, we could have wider terraces
for the people using the sidewalks.
To create more distance between the sidewalk and the street.
I don't know. I know at some points that it's narrower and some points wider. And to me, it would be more beneficial to have wider so people are more comfortable down there because the traffic's fast.
So basically, what you're proposing is you keep the pedestrians the same distance from the traffic that we're proposing right now. It's just that it'd be wider terrace rather than bike lane that separates them.
Yes.
And the wider terraces is something, talking about our design refinements, that is something we can continue to investigate with the bike accommodations included. If there's areas where our impacts are minimal or not significant and we can push that terrace out a couple more feet, that is something we'll continue to investigate if that's something the village wants to pursue.
Just like we already talked to like the diocese, and that's something that they desire on part of their property, that we look at a wider terrace.
Specifically for snow storage and separation from the road.
Yep. Mm-hmm. So that's something we can continue to entertain on with our design plan.
Trustee Harris.
One of the things that I keep hearing about from residents, along with whether or not we should or should not have bike lanes, is the speed on Riverside. My understanding, and this is, correct me where I'm mistaken, is if there are 11-foot lanes as opposed to 12 and a designated bike lane, motorists are going to feel a little more confined and they'd go slower. In theory, that's what happens. If you go with 11-foot instead of 12-foot, traffic will be slower in general than if you had it more open. Is that...
That is correct.
Okay.
There's a lot of national studies out there about lane widths and speeds and all that kind of stuff, and it's been shown that, you know, the more wide open you make a roadway, the more speed will go up with it. That's why we're trying to introduce some side friction in that. And they conflict with each other. When you try to accommodate the bikes, that gives you more of an open feeling, but if you can get that pavement marking there, that does create a little bit more of a side friction. It helps slow people down. It really helps if you actually have bikes there. But I'm not saying that's going to happen here. That's not where I'm going, but if you have bikes there, that really helps slow down traffic.
The difference of the two scenarios we're talking, what would be the speed change? What would be the normal? If there's studies on that, they must say, okay, go 5 miles an hour slower or 2 miles.
Most of the studies focused on freeway type with the 12-foot versus 11-foot on like interstate highways and that kind of stuff. And I couldn't tell you it's at the top of my head it's less than 5 miles per hour.
But so it's just a couple miles.
55, 60, 70 mile per hour facilities that most of that study was done on.
Okay.
Urban is so much more difficult because there's so much more that factors into it than just the lane width. It has to do with what's in your terrace, how many trees are there, how constricted the whole environment feels. So it's really hard to separate out 1 foot of lane width in an urban type environment.
So in that sense, the impact would be very minimal on the speed. I mean, if we just focus on the speed and the bike lanes being a speed deterrent, we're just talking a few miles an hour, right?
Yeah. The thing that's going to decrease the speed in the future is hopefully we get as much of that side friction, you get that pavement marking there, you get some trees in the terrace and they get bigger, you know. Mm-hmm. We're hoping to have more trees along here in the end when this is done.
Right.
Than there are now. You know, that's going to help reduce those speeds. If you do get more users, even the pedestrians on the sidewalks give people that sense of, hey, this is an urban area, I need to slow down. Mm-hmm. So that helps slow people down. If you get bikes using it, it helps slow it down. And but you know, if these things happen, and you actually do get the speed reduced, we'd love to see it reduced. We really would. And the speed does reduce. So let's say you get a little bit more congestion from the side holes. That will reduce speeds, too. Then that's going to make the bikers feel safer out there. So in 20 years down the road, it's catch 22, you know.
So the speed reduction could be accomplished by having a bigger terrace as well as having a bike lane.
If you saw
so
that
they
terrace.
Could have the same kind of impact, because if you put tree, you have a bigger terrace, you have more room for trees, and you encourage more people to be there. So the speed could be impacted in the same, in a different manner.
Yes and no. I mean, the pedestrian's a little bit farther away, but you want that for the safety of pedestrians. Like I'm saying, some of these things conflict with each other.
All right. I understand. So. I'm trying to think of if the speed, if the bike lane is a good decision just based on speed. If just for that reason at all, in my mind, it's losing for speed.
Trustee Rafter.
Dan, I hate to keep asking this, but could you remind me of the current width of Riverside Drive curb to curb?
48 feet.
It's 48. And how about from back of sidewalk to back of sidewalk where that is the case?
Depends on your terrace width. I think down like around Arrowhead, it's about 62 feet.
It's currently 62?
62 feet. That will include 2.5-foot sidewalks and like a 2 to 3 foot terrace.
Okay. And in looking at the proposed, we are looking at basically a 50-foot curb to curb with two 11-foot lanes,
52.
So you have 11-foot lane. Oh, okay, 52. And how about what would be the back of the sidewalk to the back of the sidewalk? Well, that would be 52? No.
That's
the proposed.
Six. With a terrace on both sides, it'd be 52 plus. It'd be 72 feet if you had a 5 foot terrace on both sides and a 5 foot sidewalk. That's a little tougher one because a lot of places we have some commercial walk, which is only six
right.
feet wider on one side, and we have a terrace on the other side. If you had a 5 foot terrace and 5 foot sidewalk on both, that'd be 72 feet. If you had commercial walk, that's the 6 feet adjacent to the back of the curb on both sides, that would be 64 feet.
Okay. So if we were to get rid of the bike lanes, could we add width to the terrace and not impact property owners at all?
Oh, no, you'd still be impacting the property owners.
Okay.
It's just in.
Your impacts would not. If you take the bike accommodations away and you add it to the terrace, you're not changing the impacts at all.
If you add it to the terrace, you don't change the impacts whatsoever.
Okay, but the current design of the terrace. Okay, so the only way not to impact property owners today, even by shifting the road a little west at times,
which we're already doing,
is to redo it the way it is.
Yep.
And if you were to do that, would your recommendation be to, let's say down by the Arrowhead area, would your recommendation be to get rid of the terrace and make a commercial sidewalk kind of thing down there with maybe a brush, or to leave a small 3 foot terrace like we have today?
If my experience is a 2 foot terrace is no man's land. It doesn't do you much good. You know, it's hard to maintain grass in there, anything like that. So the 6 foot, or you could go with even a 7 foot wide commercial walk just to give a little bit more safety feeling.
Yeah.
Which is kind of like adding a little bit of terrace, but that usually is, in my experience, works out better. The 2 foot doesn't help with snow storage much or anything.
Okay, thanks.
We looked at it, and if you took the 2 feet away on each side, all other things being equal, you took the 2 feet of the bike accommodation off of each side. We are only sure that there'd be
two parcels that we could avoid, whether it be a tree or parking. There's only two parcels that that would help or take the impacts away.
What are those properties?
One was the Harrington property near, was that St. Mary's? There's a fence there. Right now we are including a terrace there, so we could potentially, with other refinements, such as a commercial lot, we could avoid that fence.
Okay.
We have talked to him quite a bit through the process. His main concern is not impacting his driveway, which we're not impacting the driveway, don't be impacting the fence. The other parcel was the Seidel parcel more on the north end of the job, and that was an impact of parking. Correct?
Yeah. And we don't think it would be eliminating parking, we just have to move it.
And that's up at Alloway Avenue?
Yeah. And there are other ways, other areas where we are, I'm sorry, yes. There are other areas where we definitely want to continue talks with Craig and possibly the board about where we have terraces where it might really help to go with a commercial walk to reduce those significant impacts of a couple of properties. But those are all the design requirements we're trying to get through. You know, we have to get this conception together.
And I think, talking about speed, I think the only thing that's really going to slow traffic down on Riverside Drive is enforcement. I mean, to really slow it down, because that's why, that's really why people don't speed in De Pere, and that's why they don't speed in Green Bay. So I think enforcement, as well as, of course, trees and green space and narrower roads or narrower lanes. But, well, I'll let anyone else who wants to talk. I have something else later.
Trustee Green.
And just when we get to speed, it's been brought up numerous times, speed limit in Green Bay is 25, and De Pere is 25. It's a racetrack going through our place. Any thought on making that a uniform speed limit through the whole? Because we have residential on both sides of that street in numerous locations that are being treated very differently than residential on both sides of the streets in the two adjacent municipalities.
Yeah, we did the speed study and all that. And, those areas have a little bit more congested driveways. Up there, a little bit more side traffic coming in from a little bit more congested driveways and all that, so that's what kind of justified the 25 mile per hour speed limits. You know, we do have some residential areas here, but they're not continuous along both sides of the road. You know, where you do have some open spaces, you do have some commercial areas. And so that was affected into that. So that's what we looked at doing a speed study to see what the average speeds are in the area, and they weren't. They didn't justify.
What do you mean they didn't justify lowering it?
Have you seen our speed limit handle that we handed out at the first couple of public information meetings?
I did, but it kind of doesn't make much sense. Because if everybody steals $5 from a till, is that okay? I mean, it's really not. If we enforce laws that way, we wouldn't get anywhere. So when we looked at that, the justification for a 35-mile-an-hour speed limit seemed to be that everybody was doing in excess thereof, and that doesn't make it right, nor does it make it safe for our community.
Well, what our studies show, though, and I know not everyone agrees with this, but, I mean, there were scientific studies done, is that when we just go and put a new sign up there, we go out there and we study the speed, and it was average 40 miles per hour, and we go and put a sign up that says 25, you get a much larger differential. You still have a lot of people that just drive 40, and you get a few more people that will drop down to 25. Now you got that differential speeds, and that's where you see the most accidents, is when the traffic entering has real difficulty judging what those oncoming vehicles are doing for speed. And that differential in speeds is what creates more accidents. So by just artificially putting that sign up, we actually create a less safe environment. That's why we fight it. Otherwise, we'd love to let you lower the speed limit, but we don't want to make it less safe.
Well, part of that's on us as the village, because I remember when I first moved here, you were told the minute you cross that De Pere line, you best drop your speed because they are going to be waiting right there on Ridgeway for you. And sure enough, they are. You know, if we had that kind of enforcement on our section, we may develop that reputation too. So I don't see it just being a single factor.
That does help. Enforcement is one thing, but it has to continue with enforcement.
And like Dan was getting at, as you're in De Pere, south of Randall, there's more driveways. Those residential driveways are directly accessing 57. And then as you get into Alloway, that the trees and the terrace and that kind of canopy field goes away as you're in De Pere, in the south end of De Pere, where it turns to 35. that canopy, that field kind of goes away, kind of opens up. And as you go through the Arrowhead Drive and up towards 172, those areas, the driveways, for the most part, if not all, are off of sidewalks. So you don't have a lot of the driveways on 257. You just have the sidewalk access. As you go north of 172, you do have that section on the west side of the roadway where there is the driveway access. On the east side, again, it's mainly side roads. There is some direct access. And then as you get up north of Attleway Avenue, again, it opens up. Once you get into Green Bay, you kind of get into that canopy field where there's larger trees closer to the roadway in the terrace. There's more driveways that are direct access to the roadway. When we study speeds and when we set the speed limit, we don't just look at that speed study data we take. We take the overall environment of the roadway into account as well. So there is some engineering judgment in that. From our standpoint, one of our goals with the project is trying to make this corridor as safe and efficient as possible. Whether that means keeping it at 35 or lowering the speeds, we have to, right now our data and what's out there now, what is existing, the safest speed limit for this section of Highway 57 is to keep it at 35 miles an hour. The DOT has committed to, after the project is done and after we complete the roadway, we install some of these landscaping and medians and different elements we've been talking about tonight, we have committed to restudying this corridor, taking some more speed study data to see if that average speed and the 85th percentile speed is naturally lower. You can't artificially lower speed limits and make it safer. There's studies out there that show that you lessen the safety of the roadway by artificially lowering the speeds. Yeah. So we understand what you guys where you're coming from with the speeds. We do understand that. We are trying to make the roadway as safe as possible. After the project is done, when we evaluate it again, if it makes sense to lower that speed, whether it be to 30 or to 25, the DOT is definitely open to doing that. But we can't do it now because there's no engineering justification for doing that.
I tend to agree. I mean, anybody that's driven that new section of GV, it's wide and it's like 35. And some people do 35, and some people are going 50, because it looks like you should be able to go 50 there, but you can't. And I've just seen all kinds of crazy speeds going on out there, and so I kind of get what you're talking about.
When was your last ticket?
I didn't say I was driving the 40. Might have been the 35 guy.
Can I interject some? Just a question. It's a little bit on, assuming that the speed is the only factor here, I think there's a more predominant issue going on, and that's the impact on residential property. But assuming that it's just speed, and you're coming out of the pier, and you're heading towards downtown Green Bay, and you're coming through that 57 corridor, you're already leaving 25 miles an hour. What if that 35 mile an hour limit didn't pick up until this side of St. Mary's? So you're keeping it consistent at 25 through a heavy residential area, including a Dairy Queen, a fitness club, a tennis racket a facility, an entrance to the path, a lot of traffic going in and out of a boat landing, etc., right through that area. And then opening it up after St. Mary's to that 35-mile-an-hour limit, and then reevaluate it at that point after the project is done. Just a thought. So, and then one other thought, just because I've driven through that area with a much different look based on the letters that we've gotten. I've looked at it, and I know you guys have gone, and you're much more educated at this than I am. But what if the highway was pinched at that point between, is it Rosemount or Roselawn?
Roselawn.
Roselawn to St. Mary's. What if the road was pinched at that point, eliminating it so that we weren't impacting on residential property so much?
That is not considered a continuous bike accommodation through there. You force the bikes into lane of traffic, and that would not be acceptable to as a bike accommodation. And plus, like I said, the 2 feet of impact through there aren't making a huge
It's still not going to change.
Well, we're still impacting because of the additional sidewalk and all that out there right now. So,
makes some sense.
If it had more of an appreciable, reduction, I can see a little bit more of an argument for it, but it doesn't make a huge reduction in the impact.
What about the section between 172 North? I mean, that's where some of the biggest trees are, historic fences are, and that's where, I know last meeting, anyway, some of our correspondence since the last meeting, not everybody's on the same page through there with what needs to happen. And so if we're talking about pinch points, that seems to be another area that homeowners are significantly impacted.
And the fence itself, we've met with four or five property owners now. The two cottonwoods, the large cottonwoods, mm-hmm. are going to be impacted. One of them probably even without increasing the width of the road because it's encroaching on the roadway. I mean, it's right in our right of way. But those two cottonwoods are definitely four out of five property owners that we spoke with. We talked about moving the fence, and they would like to have replica fence made, lower maintenance. And that's something that we said that we would agree to with them. We'd work it out with them. That fence is private property, so it's up to them. If they wanted it gone, that could be their choice and all that. But all four of the five that we talked with agreed to that we would compensate them for replacing with a replica type fence. It's lower maintenance. It's actually going to last longer for them. We talked about putting commercial walk through there. That's something I think we talked about at the last board meeting to help reduce impact to additional trees in that area. That's another area where to the north we'd like to talk about maybe some more commercial walk. This just wasn't the appropriate time to do it. We'll bring that up later to lessen some impacts to the north. But those are the things that we're continuing to refine and minimize impact.
There's also something like near Miramar. The roadway currently is all four lanes are tipped, so it's all draining to the west. We have some identified drainage issues coming off of Miramar. I've had comments from the property owners on the west side of Riverside Drive as far as water getting there. So we're trying to address drainage issues with the project as well. One of the things our first shot at addressing that is to put a normal crown in the roadway. So the center of the roadway would be the high point, and then the lanes that would drain to each side for the curves. With doing that, on the east side of the roadway, we introduced a larger cut section where we have to go further back into those properties. That's something we can continue to work on. As we keep talking about the design refinements, those are the design refinements we have to work through now. As far as how can we balance that, how can we balance addressing the drainage issues and limiting the impacts to the property owners as much as possible. So that's what we're going to continue to be working on here. And that's where we may be working with Craig as far as from the village standpoint where that balance is. So
going back to Trustee Atwood's idea of what he used the term pinched at that point, I heard, well, we can't because we wouldn't have continuous bike lanes. But let's say we didn't have bike lanes. Would that concept be possible then?
It wouldn't be a pinch point. It would be what you have now for 8 feet.
Be consistent.
Yeah.
Consistent section.
And that's a possibility.
If right. you, yeah, if we bring federal highways and federal highways okay. Mm-hmm. Which, I mean, it just to let you know, it will delay the project if we have to bring some federal highways.
Yep.
Yeah, like we have checked with FHW, Federal Highways, on, and our current direction is that our design with the bike accommodations included is an acceptable design. And if we took the bike accommodations out, that would make it unacceptable. Again, as Representative Steffens discussed in his portion of the meeting here, the changes in Trans 75, those interpretations aren't fully understood yet. So as far as, we're proceeding as under the existing direction we have. That being said, depending on how that Trans 75 language is interpreted, the fact that this is a National Highway System Road, NHS, that, and being the federal policy, us as a design team, we would feel that our correspondence with federal highways, that would trump Trans 75. So we could take it to federal highways, but we may end up still having the accommodations in there.
We would.
And we will take it if it is, the direction and all that. We will do that. I'm just letting you know. It's not guaranteed it's going to get eliminated then. and basically guarantee it's going to delay the project. Because we still have to wait for Trans 75, that whole thing to be worked out. It still may apply to this job, even though it's gone, like Representative Stephan said. And then federal highways, their current stance is, we wouldn't consider it, but it would go higher politically and all that kind of stuff. But it's just not a guarantee. Just let you know, just making sure everything's on.
And I'm not a lawyer, but when I heard that Train 75 was gone, I went to the DOT website and I took a look at underway projects, and they had the five listed that are underway and under construction. So I'm hoping that the Train 75 ruling is to our benefit. And I would surely expect and hope that if it is our wish not to have bike lanes, that as public servants, collectively, that we represent the people of Alloway and De Pere and tell the feds that this is what we want. And I would expect that of all of us. That's our job.
And just so you guys are aware, on July 7th, we also attended the De Pere City Council meeting. They did approve the design as proposed in the June 17th proposal. And as we've stated, the Foreman Row to the north includes the 4-foot bike accommodation. Mm-hmm. Any future projects on this section of roadway would be designed to include those accommodations. So as Craig was alluding to before, this roadway is likely going to be in place for 40 to 50 years minimum. So we're making decisions that are going to affect the long-term build-up of this corridor.
As I see it, I think we have essentially three options. One is keep the bike lanes as presented, which would have a 4-foot bike lane on each side of the roadway. Eliminate the bike lanes, or eliminate the bike lanes and increase the between the sidewalk using the old bike lane space.
That's the give a fourth.
What's our fourth?
Eliminate the bike lanes. Increase the terraces where it doesn't impact property owners' rights. Certain areas where...
Right.
So you could do it where it's easy to do and then leave things as is where you don't. And maybe in the areas like down by Arrowhead and maybe up and then up north where you're really, really tight, consider the commercial sidewalk as an option.
Those are the options.
You want a motion?
In all of these cases, all of the four, the change to the effect on individual property owners, there would be two changes, no matter what of the four we decide. Is that correct?
On two parcels.
Correct. So option A, B, C, D. The change of effect on property owners, there'd only be two changes of parcels. Is that correct?
Well, we are defining as significant. That's an individual fence or
large trees.
Large trees or parking.
Okay. Thank you.
Trustee Rafter.
Before I make a motion, I have another question. I seem to remember you guys saying that it's gotten down to a point where there's really no impact in the areas that were some of the areas that are really under concern, such as the Arrowhead area from Briar Lane, say, down to St. Mary, one of them.
We're not necessarily saying there's no impact. We're saying removing that 2 feet for the bike accommodations doesn't change the status of
right. That's what you said tonight, but and I believe you. Before, in another meeting, I thought we said, like, for example, the two properties at Briar Lane and Riverside Drive on the east side. All the properties there. But I thought you had said, except for where there's the crossing, the impact to those property owners, except for line of sight issues, were nil. There weren't any longer. Is that correct?
On the south end of that, if it's
Roselawn's
where the crossings are, there are still some impacts to trees and some fence.
Right, but you move that, you move the crossing north from where it was going to be between Briar Lane and whatever. So
some of those we got to keep. We I think what we're saying is that in some of those areas, we have the impacts down to within the existing right of way.
Pretty temporary grading.
Yeah, which is temporary grading.
Right.
And stuff. Yeah.
And the current right of way goes to the back of the sidewalks.
Roughly to just before the base of the fences. A lot of the temporary grading impacts, and we're still, again, final design, we need to plan this further, but temporary grading impacts as they are now are within a couple of feet of sidewalks where you're talking about inches, an inch or inches of grading, where if they remain where they were now, you may have to temporarily dig down the fence to grade that out, and the fence could go back up.
Okay.
Except
so
the
long-term
the
impact.
Crossing.
And yeah, we've moved the crossing down where it shouldn't. I don't think it's
one of the crossings. Yes, did reduce impacts.
Yeah.
Where it was, the north crossing was moved further to the north.
Okay.
Trustee Raptor, are you prepared to make a motion?
Yeah.
One quick question.
Oh.
First. Phase one of the project goes from DePeer to what point?
Self-corporate limits is
phase one as far as building it.
It's a two-part process, right? I mean, you're going to start on one end of the highway and finish on the other end. So it's going to start from DePeer and end where for the first phase, and then pick
we're
up the second.
172 is a cutoff, right?
172 is a cutoff.
We have not determined exactly where that's going to be.
Okay, a bit around that area.
Yeah, it seems like a logical termination for us in terms of detours and traffic control and all that.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other questions or comments before I entertain a motion? Hearing none, Trustee Raffer.
I'll make a motion that the design of Riverside Drive does not include, or that we eliminate bike lanes in total, that we keep the lane width at 11 feet, and where possible, without impact to current property rights, we widen the terrace, and in those areas where it's very tight right now, we consider use of commercial sidewalks to not lessen the impact, but eliminate the impact to our property owners.
Very well said, Trustee Raptor. Is there a second to that motion, Trustee Dark?
I'll second it.
Any discussion? Trustee Dark.
I just have a comment, because I would certainly support bike lanes, and if there was more room there. And I just want to say that it's not anything. I would like the bike lanes there, and I'd like more room for the sidewalk. But if choosing to, I'd rather have a wider terrace for the pedestrians and more place to put the snow. So and I just think it's a more practical decision. So.
Right, thank you for that. Trustee Green.
I echo Penny's comments, but then also I think we really ought to work hard, and I know you guys are working on this, and try to get the Fox River Trail plowed in wintertime. I know there's some efforts along that route, and I would hope if there's anything we could do to do those. And then also we allow bikes on Webster sidewalks. Is my assumption is we are going to allow bikes on Riverside sidewalk. And I know if it were me, I wouldn't be on the road either way. Not that good of a biker. But that we allow bikes with free and open access on sidewalks down there also. So I'm not sure. Do we have any ordinance prohibiting that? Because every once in a while we're surprised.
Currently the ordinance states Webster is the only sidewalk that bicyclists can use.
Okay. Currently. I'd love to see that ordinance opened up, and we would add Riverside to that.
Yeah, we can.
As it comes along. So.
I mean, that was my thinking too. I mean, I think bike lanes on Riverside's a bit of overkill with the box trail there and the sidewalk access and Penny's comment that we don't have enough room. And then where we do have room, I'd like to see the terrace expanded for the reasons stated. Trustee Harris.
If we switch some areas to commercial sidewalk, is the village then responsible for the snow plowing, similar to how we are on Webster? So we'll need to take that into account of additional time and cost if we do go that route with commercial sidewalk in residential area.
They should be.
They are. Hello.
Can you hear us, Clarence?
I can hear you. I can't hear you.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
That's a horse. That sounds like very white. Can you hear me?
Are you
going to
make me repeat myself?
Any other discussion? Motion made and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Nay.
All ayes except for Trustee Harris. Motion carried. Craig, let me just scan this. Option four, or item number four, that's another one that needs to be made like now, right? Pedestrian crosswalk at St. Joe's.
I think we should, crosswalks in general, and item five is the one that is probably the most critical as far as crosswalks. And let me explain what item five is. It was a request that we got from a couple of folks. So I put it on this list to reconsider it. In the workshops didn't support putting a crosswalk at Lazard because the underpass of Heritage Hill is right next to it. Mm-hmm. But it did come up a couple of times, so I put it on here to make sure that we're all in agreement that we either are going to have a crosswalk there or not have one. But it's primarily when there's Heritage Hill events, and you do have that underpass. So it would make sense to not have a crosswalk there
because
we already have the underpass.
Right.
The other crosswalks you have on pages 19 and 20, and I did have on the list considering a crosswalk at St. Joseph Street, but we have some time to decide that because the roadway design would accommodate it, and we can do that in a later meeting. We've kind of messed the time.
So we can talk about St. Joseph later, but you really want some sense in terms of Lazard. I'll make a motion that we not install a pedestrian crosswalk at Lazard Avenue. For a second. Trustee Atwood. Trustee Raptor, discussion.
I'd just like to ask a question. Can we not put one in now, but prepare for one by doing cutouts of the curb or something like that, or does that not make sense?
There's no median at that point.
Oh, okay.
You know, and there's no sidewalk on the west side. But could one be added later by adding sidewalk? We just wouldn't have a median.
Okay.
That is something that could be petitioned for and put in later, but
go down the trail.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just with the 172 cross, I mean, I don't see any reason to have one within spitting distance. So, any other discussions concerning the motion to not install a crosswalk at pedestrian crosswalk at Lazard Avenue?
You have one.
Huh?
You made it.
I know. Is that going to do? Did I get a second?
Mm-hmm.
I did from Trustee Harris. Any other discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion approved. What else do you need, Craig?
Well, the other item is the cost of the community-sensitive solution design options, but I don't know if we really have time to go through that now. And we don't have to make that decision right now. We have some time to do that. That's the amount, you know, the trees, the medians, grass, or mulch, and whatnot.
You know, might I suggest that we put the community-sensitive solutions issue was on the next Public Works meeting.
Sure.
So I'd like to see a Public Works recommendation to the full Village Board in terms of how to handle that and how to cover the cost. I think I have an idea on that, but I think it would be nice to have a Public Works to digest that and make recommendations to the Board in terms of what to pursue and how to pay for it. So let's put that on the next agenda. Anything else you need from the Board tonight in terms of our continuing dialogue with the DOT to keep the project moving forward?
Not that we need to see them all.
Okay, thank you. I want to thank the representatives from the state. Your participation and discussion with us is appreciated and ongoing, and I think ultimately we get to a project that works for the Village of Alloway and for the Department of Transportation as well, for the benefit of all the residents and travelers along that thoroughfare. So, anything else on this subject before we adjourn and take up the regular board meeting?
Hearing none, I'll entertain a motion to adjourn. Trustee Harris, second by Trustee Atwood. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? We adjourn.